Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton, and this is a brainstorm. And it's a special brainstorm because it's a listener request. Within the same few days, my son Will asked me, why do we have front lawns? And my sister Ruth said the same thing, like, why do we need those? Why are we not all growing little fields and letting our dandelions go?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know the answer now.
Okay.
But first, we're going to go way back in history, because what I wondered is, what did we have before we had these flat green manicured lawns? What did we have before the 1860s? And you would see the homes right up against the curb with a little porch that walks right out to the curb. And the houses are pretty close together. There's not a lot of green space. And so when you go to big cities and old neighborhoods, the homes are close. They're not back from the curb. You do see homes away from the curb with lawns in like the English gentry and the fancier rich folks, because they're playing lawn croquet and, you know, they do have those manicured gardens. Farmers had lawns, but they had lawns because they were grazing animals. And I don't know that they were necessarily intentional. We're planting grass. They probably planted something or allowed whatever was there to grow as long as it was edible. So how did we go from that? Oh, no. Let's back up a little bit further.
Oh, okay.
Want to know what the first lawns were made of?
Yes.
They were 16th century is when they first started talking about a lawn. And those lawns were made of thyme or chamomile.
Just a whole front lawn of those little flowers and that lovely smell. I mean, that would be so relaxing.
I know. So fresh. I'm not sure why we stopped that, really. But 17th century, you started seeing grass species. I totally want to go plant just a carpet of thyme in my backyard, because I feel like the bees would like it too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We've talked history. We've talked about what we had. How did we get where we are? In the 1860s, a group of folks that were trying to sell homes in Riverside, Illinois, and they were discussing, how can we sell in this development? In their spitballing and chat, somebody said, why don't we talk with Frederick Law Olmsted, the famous landscape architect?
I know, that guy is everywhere.
He's prolific.
If there's something planted and parkish, that man is there.
Yes. So for those of you that need a quick memory jog, Frederick Law Olmsted lived between 1822 and 1903 and designed just oodles and oodles of parks and outdoor infrastructure. Trace, you were talking about what national park earlier?
Yosemite. He was part of the group that was put into planning that when Lincoln signed it into law, that would be protected.
Oh, yes.
Crazy. I mean, he was, and then Central Park in New York City. I mean, the guy was everywhere, and he was here, right? In Spokane?
He was. We have Cannon Hill Park that was designed by him. Manitou Park was here already, but he helped design some of the spaces like the Duncan Gardens. And we have these cute little triangle parks within the neighborhood here on the South Hill. If you go north of Super One, neighbors, you can see Olmsted Triangle Parks. There's three of them. I always just thought that they were a median for a neighborhood that came together weirdly, but they're actually intentional green spaces so that the folks in the neighborhood could enjoy some green space. So Olmsted decided that what would sell to people was creating an intentional green space, a natural space that the folks living could see and enjoy from their front windows. So he pushed the houses 30 feet back from the street and gave everybody a lawn. So instead of being cheek to jowl with your neighbor right up against the street, you suddenly have a little park in your front yard, which does sound really appealing. So in my neighborhood, Trace, you don't have much of a front yard.
Yeah.
And in my neighborhood, there's a lot of folks going to Zeroscaping? I've been calling it that.
I think it's Zerescape. Zerescape.
Oh, ooh, that sounds exotic. What it means is you don't cultivate that green lawn. You create a space that is naturally thrives with much less water, with naturally occurring water.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, gosh, now we know where those front lawns come from.
Now you know.
Well, if you're not out there digging up your lawn to put in a raised bed, you can ask your smart speaker to play Brain Junk. You can also find us on Twitter as @MyBrainJunk. And we're on Facebook and Instagram as Brain Junk Podcast. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.